A Blueprint for Living Secret Sound. What do you think? Any clues? We're about to discover what we have just heard. David Haskell will tell us. He is an author, a poet, an essayist. He's all the good things, including Professor of Biology and Environmental Studies at the University of the South in Tennessee, in the US. Now, his latest book, there's a clue, it's called The Songs of Trees. He's here to tell us more. Joining us from Tennessee, David, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
Absolute pleasure. What we just heard, can you describe that to us?
Yeah, so what we just heard is the craziest piano practice ever, right? the sound, each individual note is a sound from an electric piano. And what I've done is sonified, so turned into sound, the measurements taken from a maple twig. So we're actually hearing the growth and the daily heartbeat of a twig on a sugar maple tree as the twig conducts water through its vessels during the day. But the twig contracts ever so slightly. So during the hot afternoon sun, the twig is much narrower. And then at night, it fattens up just a little bit more. So it goes through a daily cycle, a little bit like the pulse coming through a human vein. And so, of course, we can't hear that with our unaided ears. Mm. What I've done is turn that up and down motion into a piano sound. And in fact, the piano sounds go up and down through the day, and they get higher through the week because the twig is growing, adding little layers of wood as it.
I love this. This is tree jazz. Let's hear another example here, a little bit more of maple twig. David, I think that maple was pleased to see you.
Yeah, that's a very excited maple. So that in fact is a whole week, and each individual note is one instance in time in that week. So in about 15, 20 seconds, we heard all the ups and downs through the week, up and down through the day and night, and then the twig growing as well. And of course, when you compress it like that, it sounds just crazy. I mean, like hands flying all over the piano keyboard.
What you're doing is listening to trees, is listening to, turning off other sensory organs, focusing your ears on the sound of that world around you.
Yes, you know, the piano, the example we just heard is one of the more peculiar ways of listening to a tree. Of course, there are many others, and the main way is just to sit down and be quiet and listen to the sounds of the insects chewing on the wood of the tree, or the wind blowing through the leaves, or the rain coming down through the twigs. And for me, the listening, the sensory opening is the first stage into understanding the stories of the tree. So first we listen and hear all sorts of sounds that are emerging from the tree's wood, from its life, its ecology, its connection with people, and then after that, those sounds lead into all kinds of layers of history, ecology, culture. Those are the stories, and the sound and the stories together make up a song.
Because, well, those sounds are unique. Those sounds are particular to that tree, that place, the circumstances that surround it.
Exactly. So every tree species certainly has its own voice, just as bird species sound very different when one listens to them as they're singing their territorial songs and their breeding songs. The same is true of trees. Of course, they're not intending to defend territories. Instead, in the sound of wind and rain in their leaves, we hear the physicality of the leaf, whether it's a big waxy leaf of the rainforest or a much thinner leaf of dry arid areas say a tree fern that has a very lacy kind of leaves. All of this physicality of the leaf relates to its ecology, to its place, and we can actually hear those differences. So blind, if we were really good, blindfolded, we could tell tree species apart just through our ears.
Let's test our listeners. Here's another sound. I wonder if they can guess at this location. So, David, where are we?
So here we are, standing at the very top of one of the tallest trees in the Amazon rainforest in eastern Ecuador. So this is the very western portion of the great Amazon rainforest. And the tree is a ceibo tree, which is one of the great giants of the forest. It rises at least 10, 15 meters above all the other trees that are themselves very tall. And I've climbed with the help of some ladders all the way to the top. And I'm listening to dawn breaking in the Amazon, and the sounds we're hearing are monkeys waking up, are birds, are wind moving through leaves, are the insects starting their song. It's just, this place in the Amazon is one of the most biodiverse places anywhere on the planet, and you can hear that. It's a great exaltation of sound when dawn breaks. The biodiversity of the place, the richness of its living community is manifest in sound, and of course in other senses as well. The visual, our eyes delight as we see all the different plant leaf shapes, and then the smells, of course, of the rainforest, just from one plant to another, or as a leaflet changes as we move around the forest.
Cumulatively,
enormous amount of sensory diversity.
Cumulatively, it's a kind of sensory intelligence.
It is, from my experience at first was an incredible kind of sensory overload to experience this. But what it's revealing is indeed a kind of intelligence from the forest. These forests are made from networks of interacting creatures, interacting particular individual trees, fungi below ground, bacteria, birds, people. And in that interconnected life, we have memory, we have decision-making. We have the ability to adapt to place and creativity through evolution and evolutionary ecological innovations. So just like a human brain is an enormous organic network that is intelligent and has a mind, in a parallel way, the forest does as well. And that doesn't mean that the forest is a sort of like a human mind. It's very different. It's very decentralized, but it's just as huge and just as complex.
David Haskell's new book is The Songs of Trees. David, let's leave the forest. Let's take a completely different environment. I hear their sounds, David, perhaps both natural and not quite so natural.
Right, yes. So in the cities, there are all sorts of sounds that echo up through the wood of trees. So we're hearing subway trains and diesel engines throbbing, actually making the ground tremble.
That's a tree in Manhattan.
Yes, it's on the street corner in Manhattan. And the sounds that we are hearing are partly the sparrows that live in the tree, and partly the sounds, the vibratory energy of the city. And the way I detected these was by putting a little sensor onto the bark of the tree, and that sensor measured vibration in the solid part of the tree. So it was literally listening to what the tree felt in its living cells, not what was just vibrating in the ear and hitting my eardrum.
How do we attune ourselves to this? So you have done that, you have gone, you have been quiet, you have sat and you have opened your ears, but I'm getting a sense here of parallel cultures, of this extraordinary interconnected, as we described it before, this sort of ecological intelligence against which we have our culture.
Yes, and I would say that actually our culture emerges from the community of life. Humans are just as natural as a tree, and of course we, through our culture and our intelligence, our industry, we've massively modified many parts of our own environment and environment of other species. But we're still evolved creatures. We still live by ecological rules. We have to breathe and live. And one of those rules, one of the foundations of life is interconnection, is network. And in the old days, we thought of life as being composed of separate interacting individuals, and certainly they're interconnected, but interconnection was secondary. Now it's clear that life is actually made from connection. Life isn't just networked, it is a network. So a tree is a great example of that, because it seems to be a single individual with one trunk, but if you look at its cells, its ecology, it's nothing without connections with bacteria and fungi. And by nothing, I mean it would die if you severed those connections. The life is fundamentally networked, and so part of what I learned through listening to trees in different parts of the world was how those networks manifest in radically different places, like the seashore or a street corner in Manhattan or the Amazon rainforest.
And yet our networks as humans, as that species within that greater network, are increasingly not of the natural world.
Yes, we're more and more unaware of the many connections that sustain us. Of course, our body is not just made of human cells, it's made of all sorts of microbial cells. And every time we eat, we're connected to fields. Every time we breathe in, we're connected to oceans and forests. And yet we've created environments in which those connections are very well hidden from us. Mm. Even when we take a pill, say when we're ill and we take some antibiotics, those antibiotics originally came from the soil, they came from forests and grasslands. And yet, where on the pill packet do we have a picture of a tree or a fungus? We don't. We live in a simulation in which these connections are hidden from us. So I would argue that we are just as connected as we've always been, and in some ways the fact that we're so powerful with our technology has made us even more connected in ways that are sometimes deeply troubling, as well as ways that are good and bring beauty into the world. Well, we are more connected than ever, but that's hidden from us.
What an extraordinary perspective. If this conversation has prompted you to wonder about these things, you can take that deeper with David Haskell's new book. It's called The Songs of Trees. David, we appreciate so much you sharing that with us.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. It was wonderful to be on.
David Haskell, he's a professor of biology and environmental studies, University of the South in Tennessee in the US.